Yeah, it's really my joy to share God's word with you this afternoon. We're starting on a series on the book of Philippians. And you know, Alpha, last Wednesday was really overwhelming until we ran out of food. Some of the helpers didn't even have a chance to eat. They only had grapes and dessert for dinner. So still not too late. This coming Wednesday, the topic is on who is Jesus. Still a great chance for you to come and even invite your friends. I brought my friend. He stayed throughout. He said the food was great. He had a fun time. Then I asked, would you like to sign up? He said, maybe next time. But it's okay. Yeah, as long as the seed has been planted in his heart, and he, maybe in next round, who knows? Yeah? So just be obedient and just invite and see how God will surprise you. Sometimes God will surprise us. As you know, we are starting on the book of Philippians. We chose a very short letter to do our sermon series. So this is something I just want to encourage you to start reading the book of Philippians. It's only 4 chapters. It's a very interesting book. It's one of the prison letters. Yeah. But before I share about the book of Philippians, this month we are focusing on prayer. Yeah, as Stephen had mentioned, this coming Friday, 7:14, not 7:15. So you must be exactly 7:14 p.m. You'd be wondering, why in the world is it 7:14? Okay, it comes from a Bible passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says that, if my people were called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So it's a good reminder as we come for our church prayer meeting and an attitude of humility. We want to see God doing something wonderful, not only in cathedral or even at 11:30, but for the nations in Singapore as well. So I just want to invite you to come. It'll be led by the 11:30 team. So we'll be singing some of the music that you guys are used to. Yeah, but you'll be at the Nave, 7:14 this Friday. And again, next Sunday, Stephen mentioned Jason Chua. You saw that cool guy just now, right? He's one of the founders of Burning Hearts. Burning Hearts is a prayer movement started by young people. We were so impressed when we went to visit. It was introduced by Crystal, yeah, the one who led prayer just now. She invited us, come for Burning Hearts. God is doing something in Singapore. So we came and we were so impressed. We were so astounded what God is doing. Yeah. And let him share. I'm going to let Jason share more next week. So bring your friends and find out what is prayer. Yeah. So back to Philippians. The title for this sermon is Joy in Praying. Yeah, it's written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in the ancient city of Philippi. You know where's Philippi, anyone? Sounds like Philippines, right? Every time I Google Philippi, they always show me Philippines map. Philippi no longer exists. It's a part of modern Greece. Yep. Here we have a picture of the Apostle Paul. Philippians is known as a prison letter because it was written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. Here is a picture of a statue of St. Paul in a church in Rome. It's called the Basilica of St. Paul. And here's another picture. Notice something interesting here. You know, if people will make a statue of me, perhaps I'd be holding a plate of food, for example. or my iPhone, because I'm constantly on my phone. That's not good, right? But for this statue, do you notice something interesting? We have chains wrapped around his feet. Because he was in prison for his Christian faith. Paul was in prison, yeah? And eventually, if you read about church history, Paul was beheaded by the Romans under Emperor Nero. And Emperor Nero was a crazy emperor. He burned Rome because he wants to rebuild Rome. And he blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. And because of that, Paul, Peter, and a lot of the apostles were killed for their faith. But in spite of a sad story, Philippians is also known as a very joyful letter because the word joy, rejoicing, rejoice are repeated many times in this very short letter. It is ironic that this prison letter is one of the most joyful letters in the New Testament. So what can we learn about Paul and his sense of joy? Let's read Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. It says, this is Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. With the overseers are bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church in Philippi was founded by Paul about a decade earlier, before he was arrested. Yeah, So this was the first church established in the continent of Europe. And verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, and I'm sure of this, and I'm confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is my graduation verse from my Bible college, and it still holds dear to my heart. Yeah, verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you, all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love, may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a beautiful passage. When you heard the reading of this passage, does it feel very depressing or sorrowful? No, it felt very full of joy, full of hope, full of assurance. You can't imagine it was written by Paul in prison, in a dark, smelly, cold prison, with his feet bound, chained, his life in control over the prison, the prison wardens, his life. In any moment, he could be executed. You wouldn't imagine this, but it's such a letter full of joy, full of hope. And I think we can learn a few lessons for all of us, especially in the finding joy in praying. From this passage, we can find that joy in praying when we have a heart, the first of all, heart of thankfulness, yeah, confidence in Christ, and be centered. And the last point, be centered in God's love. I will elaborate more about this. We sometimes feel, who finds praying difficult? Just a show of hand. Only one honest guy. Okay, suddenly. Yeah. All of you enjoy praying? I'm not talking about just giving thanks for the food that we eat. Or even in the morning, oh, thank God I'm alive, I'm still alive. I did not die in my sleep, you know. But who enjoys sustained praying more than 10 seconds? I find when I was a young Christian, I found praying very difficult. I didn't know what and how to pray. When I attend the church prayer meeting, I was a bit fearful because they will let's go into our groups and pray, and then it will be my turn, and I will try to copy the person, amen, bless, you know, like all the key phrases to just feel a sense of belonging. And I know it feels very difficult as well, especially if you come. Okay, Harley, give thanks for the food. That was difficult. And even my own, sometimes in my quiet time, my personal devotion, when I pray to God, I feel God is silent. God, are you listening? Or am I just, it's just a one-sided relationship, you know? So I find it hard to pray because I feel it was just very monotonous, very routine. And perhaps it's my attitude. However, I realize that prayer is more than talking to God. It is about having a deep connection with God. Heart to heart, spirit to spirit. It's about entering into God's presence and the sphere of His grace and love. And so when you understand prayer, you are filled with joy. You feel with excitement. You look forward to praying. It's not like, but you look forward to it. You know, there's a popular saying that prayer is the key that unlocks all doors. It's very true. Prayer opens that door to enter into God's presence. So my first point, thanking God. You know, I want to encourage all of us to experience joy in praying. So it's not a burdensome spiritual exercise, but it's a very joyful exercise because you are connected with God. And it starts with having a heart of thankfulness. Paul wrote that he thanked God for the Philippians. This is what verse 3 and 4 say. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. So he thanked God for the Philippians and he prayed for them with joy. In spite of being in prison, in a dark, cold, smelly prison and suffering for the gospel, Paul did not start by complaining or grumbling about his situation. Instead, he did not think about himself, but he thanked God for others, especially for the Christians in Philippi. Because the Philippians were very kind, were very hospitable to Paul when he started the church there. So he remembered them. He thanked God for them. And God was using the Philippians to bless Paul. You know, have you heard of this saying, a thankful heart is a happy heart? It's really on the point. If you want to truly be filled with joy, be thankful. You know, it's true that when we start to thank God and focus on the things that He has blessed us, it lifts us from the abyss of sorrow and self-pity to a heavenly joy and hope. What are the things that you can thank God for in your current situation? Let me give you a moment and just think about it. What can you be thankful for right now? Are you able to thank God even if you are in chains, like Paul? Are you able to thank God if your girlfriend or boyfriend just dumped you, for example? Or if you lost your job, you lost your family members, someone betrayed you or disappointed you, are you still able to thank God? There are many things to be thankful for. Later on, I'm going to share with you a story about this woman who lives during World War II. She thanked God for lice, head lice, kutu. You'd be like, what? How can you thank God for lice? You'll find out later. What can you be thankful for? You know, my sister survived cancer. She had breast cancer. She did not thank God for cancer, but she thanked God for the experience of having cancer. Okay, that sounds very strange, right? You are thanking God for the suffering that you went through. What she meant was the experience that she went through brought her closer to God, brought her closer to her family members, brought reconciliation and a lot of wonderful things. She did not thank God for the cancer. She hated the cancer. Every 6 months, she has to constantly go to her oncologist for a checkup. And she feels fearful. But she thanked God for that experience of being close, so close to God. Something very food for thought for us. Can we be thankful for the situation that God has placed in your life right now? When did you last thank God? Let's just spend a moment right now. Let me give you just a few seconds to thank God for the people who have blessed you, who brought you to church, who shared the love of Christ with you. Thank God for that person. You know, I want to thank God for my tuition teacher. I was terrible in my studies, I got tuition teacher. She was a Roman Catholic, and she would share Bible stories with me when I was in primary school. And those stories sort of prepared my heart. And I invited her to come for my baptism at St. Andrew's Cathedral. She's a Roman Catholic, by the way, and we are Anglican Church. So I say, oh, I'm going to be an Anglican. What? Why do you want to be an Anglican? That's King Henry the VIII. You know, that's the only thing that people understand. But, you know, I invite her because I want to thank her for she planted that seed in my heart. And I'm happy to see Joyce here. Joyce, you know, she was taking photos. She was instrumental in when I signed up for the baptism course. She was one of my group leaders. So you know how old she is. No, just joking. Yeah. So bless her. And I want to thank God for her, for seeing me through, for guiding me and so on. There are many people you can be thankful for. I thank God for each one of you as well, for being a blessing to this community. This 11:30 is not only about the staff, but it's all about you. You guys make it happen. You are the ambassador. You manifest God's love for this community. Okay. My second point is confidence in Christ. Verse 6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Earlier on, I shared, this was the Bible verse that they gave to the graduating class when I finished Bible college. And I still hold it dear to my heart. To have confidence in Christ. Sure, this is what Paul said. I am sure of this. For someone who was in prison, he can say, I am sure of this. If you're in such a situation like Paul, can you be confident with God? God, why am I in this situation? Why am I in chains? Why am I suffering? But Paul can say, I am sure of this. I am confident of this. What amazing faith. And I believe this faith is not only for the apostles, but it's for all of us as well. God's prayer for the Philippines that God will bring to completion what he has started. Several years earlier, he brought the gospel to the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He prays with confidence and assurance that God will complete what he has begun. You know, sadly, Paul couldn't be with the Philippians. He's in prison. And church history says that he was eventually going to be executed. He was never able to witness what God is doing in Philippi. But he has that great confidence, that great faith. You know, this confidence did not come overnight. Even for all of us. Confidence in Christ did not come immediately when you are baptized or you receive your first Holy Communion. It's not like that. Or when people pray for you. Confidence comes through a lifetime of seeing God working in our lives. And Paul had a confidence when he saw God working in his life and the lives of others. You know, Paul lived a very difficult life for the gospel. There were moments of victory and defeat in his ministry and life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he wrote, let me read this passage for you. This is his account of his suffering. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. That means he was lashed 39 times. Yeah, because you're not supposed to beat someone 40 times. That's Jewish law. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Not in a, like a, okay, never mind. You know what I mean. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food. Have you gone hungry before? You can tell I've never been hungry. Have you gone really, really hungry? Not eaten for days. Paul. In cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me for my anxiety for all the churches. Wow. This is Paul recounting his suffering. And in spite of this, in Philippians, he can say, and I am sure of this, and I am confident of this. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? such great faith? Are you able to pray and say, I am sure of this. I am sure of this, that God will see me through my studies. I'm sure of this, that God will see me through my search for a job. I'm sure of this, that God will see me through my broken relationship with my loved ones. I'm sure of this, that God will see me through the ministry that God has entrusted me. I'm sure of this, that God will see me through my illness, my despair, my depression. Praying with joy starts with having faith and confidence in the God who knows your situation very well. He knows our past, our present, and our future. And because of that, we have confidence. Confidence. Not confidence in man, but confidence in God. Okay, now I'm going to share with you this lady. Her name is Corinne Ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who suffered for her faith. She lived during the Nazi occupation of Netherlands. Her confidence in Christ remained strong through the dark time under the Nazis. Her father, you see this picture here, there's a hole in the bedroom. Yeah, it is. Later on, they converted her house into a museum. You can visit the museum. Her father built a small room in her bedroom to protect Dutch Jews from the Nazi during World War II. People say the family saved about 800 Jews. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? She and her family were imprisoned by the Nazis for helping the Jews escape. And during in prison, the father died of his illness. She herself was almost executed, but fortunately, there was a clerical error. There was not a very competent clerk, perhaps. So thank God for a lousy admin, right? So you're not so good with admin. Maybe you have saved a life. Thank God with that. I'm not very good with admin. Yeah. So because of a clerical error, she was spared. She wasn't executed. You know, Corinne's faith in God sustained her during her dark moments. She wrote about her ordeal in a book called The Hiding Place. They even made a movie out of it. You can Google it or stream it online. Okay. She wrote that she was able to hold, you know, in prison, she was able to hold worship meetings. You mean, what? How can you hold worship meetings in prison? Again, remember I said she thanked God for lice, kutu? Yeah, so her prison cell was infested with lice. So the prison officers, the prison guards were afraid to enter her cell. And because of that, she was able to hold worship meetings in her prison cell, uninterrupted. So she thanked God for kutu. Can you thank God for kutu? She could. Because it changed her experience. She was able to worship God with the other prisoners. Amazing, isn't it? And one of her popular quotes, I put it up on the slide. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, all our future is unknown. You know what's happening tomorrow? Who's receiving the A-level results this week? You know your results? All excited. Yes! We do not know what's our future. But we have a known God who will guide us, who will lead us. In a TV interview, Corinne said, we have nothing to fear because Jesus is victor and he will never let us down. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains and the very best is yet to be. What inspiring faith and confidence in Christ. This confidence is not only for war heroine or to the apostles, but it can also be experienced by each one of us, by ordinary people like us. This great confidence. How confident are we praying to God? You know, this confidence will give us joy in praying. Last point. Verse 9. Centered in God's love. And it says, verse 9, and it is my prayer, Paul's prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. You know, we need to center our prayer with God's love, so that we will be prepared and ready for the coming of Christ. This is my prayer for 11:30. That we will abound in love and be prepared for Jesus' coming. I pray for us at 11:30, even for myself, to experience God's love. You know, our slogan is welcome home. What does it mean to welcome home? To find God, to experience a sense of belonging, and most importantly, to find His love. That is our desire for 11:30. It is through this that we can find joy in praying, through God's love, that we can find joy in praying for others and even for ourselves. God loves gives us joy. We pray in a position of being known and loved by God. We pray also for God's love to dwell and saturate the people, the subjects, and situations that are on our hearts. We ask for God's love to abound in ourselves, in our broken relationship, in our search for a job, in our studies, in a challenging situation, and so on. You know, instead of giving instructions to God, you know, such as, God, give me this job. Lord, change this person. Lord, make me thin, or something like that. You know, and so on and on. You know, giving instructions. Last time I gave like a long list of prayer lists. God, this is my prayer list for you. Do it. You know, I treat God like a servant sometimes. But I think we need to re-examine our position and our attitude. We don't tell God what to do. Instead, we are centered in God's love. We pray in the position of God's love. So, instead of telling God, God, do this, do that, and so on, let's pray for more love over a person, over our enemies, over a situation. We pray for God's love to prevail over all circumstances. Ask God to manifest His abundant love over someone or something. In the past, when I have a conflict with a person, I will probably avoid that person and will not talk to that person. Yeah, block that person on the phone or whatever, you know. Try to manage the conflict. I will run away. Yeah. But these days, I've learned something. You know, and I will pray, God, change that person, help him to see from my point of view, so that he will come, she or he will come to me and apologize and beg for mercy, something like that, you know. No, it doesn't work that way. You know what I've learned? Just pray for God's love, for myself. God, fill my heart with love. Fill that person with love, that he may be abound in your love. And whatever, if it's changed or whatever, if it doesn't even come back to me, if we are not reconciled, it's okay. I have met peace with God because I centered my prayer in God's love. So, when our prayers begin with an attitude of God's love, it truly liberates us. It frees us. No more burden. And we come with an attitude of joy. So I just want to end, and I'm just going to invite the worship team to. In summary, this is what it's about praying, to find joy in praying. It's really about an attitude and our position. It begins with a thankful heart. It begins also with having confidence in Christ, that He will see it to completion, what you're going through. And lastly, is to be centered in God's love. At 11:30, we want to pray with you, and we want to pray for you. This is a place for you to talk to God. You come to God, you humble yourself, and just come to God. God, I need you. And some of us maybe have not had that relationship with God. I want to make this opportunity to invite you to just come forward as well. The pastoral team will be here to pray with you. We love praying for you. We want to ask God to bless you in whatever situation you are right now. as I shared earlier on, perhaps some of you have not had that relationship with God. Who are you, God? I feel so distant. Earlier on, we sang that song, Good, Good Father. To you, perhaps God isn't a father. God is very distant. I do not know you. But there's a cry in your heart. I want to know you, God. I want to call you Father. If that's your prayer, later on as we sing the song, I want you to come forward. We want to pray for you as well. And if you're going through a tough situation in life, it's so hard to thank God for your situation. So hard. We want to pray for you as well. We want to be by your side, assuring you that God loves you. God is here. So just come as we sing this song. There'll be people to pray with you.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard them
whisper.